Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Are you happy today?
Amen.
Amen. Well, in the Lord's house, you're always in good company, aren't you? We're God's people, and it's good to be here, and it's good to see each one of you here today in the Lord's house. And it's a great day God's given us to be together, and I always like to be with God's people, knowing that this is the best place you could ever be today. You know that? Right here in the Lord's house with God's people. And I'm reminded of the parrot that got out of the cage and flew out of the house, wound up in the cornfield with the crows. And the farmer started shooting the crows, and then he went out to get the crows he shot, and he looked over there, and there was a parrot was wounded. He picked up the parrot, and the parrot said to the farmer, "Bad company, bad company." You're not in bad company today, okay? This is good company in the Lord's house, and we're glad that you're here and trusting God for a good day today. You know, I don't know, I had on my mind all this morning, this could be the day. I don't know why, but I've had that song on my heart this morning ever since I got ready to come, and it could be the day, folks. The Lord could come today, and what a glad day that would be. But until then, we're here to occupy and do what the Lord's called us to do, given us the opportunity to do. And I'm glad that you're here with us today. Turn your Bibles again to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 again. Hope the Lord is helping you with this as we go through it and enable me to be able to bring to you some things that God would like for us to share. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's encouraging to me to study and see how God uses us. God uses people. We're seeing how God has used Paul at this time. Let's pray and ask God to bless our time together. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day. We know this is the day you have made. God, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you now for this setting, for everyone that's here. Lord, there'll never be another setting like this with this particular people here for Sunday school. But Lord, we're grateful for each one that's here. We ask now the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be the teacher, Lord, for this class. God, that we might learn from your word today. We thank you for the privilege to read and to study together. Bless Brother Ken. His physical needs and all the needs he has. Lord, I pray you will grant that today. Be with those that are out today. Like Brother Buck, don't. Brother Buck and Sister Dorothy, I pray for them today. You be with them. And others, Lord, that are out for traveling, and for whatever reason, I pray you protect them and bring them back to us very soon. Lord, we now we commit this time to you. We ask you, dear God, to be with us. Have your will and way, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking for many weeks now about God's eternal plan for the Christian believer. God has a plan for you as a Christian. He desired to save you. Once he saved us, now he has a plan for our life. In other words, we're not just saved just to go to heaven, but we're saved to do something for the Lord. And one day we will be in heaven. But until then, we need to be busy doing what we can for the Lord. We've been talking about God's eternal plan. Last week, we talked about the church as a mystery. The church as a mystery. We talked about that great mystery last week in verses 1 through 12. We talked about last week how this mystery gave Paul a purpose for existing. A purpose for existing. We talked about how this mystery also required a special revelation from God to Paul. And we see that take place. We find that this mystery was threefold. It involved the Gentiles, how the Gentiles now are fellow heirs of God. We as Gentiles can become Christians also. Also, we find out how that Gentiles are of the same body with the Jews. And also, the Gentiles are receive the same promise of Christ. Now, we know that as far as the fellow heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Jews, there's no barriers now between Jews or Gentiles. Everybody has the opportunity to be saved today. Doesn't matter what nationality you are, God will give everybody opportunity to be saved. We also know that all believers are forming together the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And we also talked about how we as Gentiles have the privilege to be saved with the Jews, and one day we'll be in heaven together. That glorious family that God has brought together while we're all here on this earth. And we find that God has eternal purposes to make a new body of people that will love Him and love one another and not be divided. So this is what we talked about last week with chapter number 3, verses 1 through 12. Now today we're going to look at verse number 14. Verse number 14 of chapter 3 today, as we continue our study here in this chapter, as Paul is writing, he says here in verse number 13, for this cause, notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, for this cause also. He's repeated again in verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, first of all, we see here, this is a great prayer that Paul is making here for the church and also for the believer. We notice the focus here, as we look at the details, is the maturity of a believer, growing up in the Lord, becoming mature in the Lord. Now, we notice here, first of all, in verse 14 and verse 15, this prayer. We notice some four things about this prayer. First of all, we see in verse number 14, there was a cause for this prayer. There was a purpose for this prayer. Paul didn't say a prayer. He had a purpose for saying this prayer. Okay? Number two, we also see in this prayer, it was with bowed knees. Paul prayed with bowed knees. We'll talk about that a little later on. Thirdly, we see about this prayer, we see it was to the Father of Christ. It was to the Father of Christ. And then fourthly, we see that it was for the whole family of God, this prayer that Paul prayed at this time. Now, let's go back and look at it. First of all, for this cause, he says, for this cause. Notice the prayer was for a specific purpose, a specific purpose. Thing was brought about here. It's talking about the great salvation and the birth of the church through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, Paul says, I'm praying for the church. God had given birth to the church, the new body of believers, which He is building. Remember we talked about in chapter 1, how believers are the body of Christ. Chapter 2, the temple of Christ. And now in chapter 3, it talks about the mystery. The church is the mystery of Christ. And so we see this prayer was for a specific purpose, a specific cause. It's for the body of believers, those that are saved. Paul is praying for us as believers, praying for them as believers at that time. Notice also, the prayer not only was for a cause, but with bowed knees. He says, I bow my knees unto you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees. You know, bowing is a sign. It's a sign of, there are many things, but sometimes a desperate need. Sometimes it's a sign of dependency. Dependency. When you see somebody get on their knees and pray at these altars, most times it's for a specific need, maybe desperately or whatever, you know, but bowing our knees is very important. And we find here that Paul was sincere when he prayed this prayer. He was so sincere that he bowed his knees. He got on his knees before the Lord. I mean, he just didn't stand and say a prayer. He got on his knees and prayed. There's something about, folks, getting on our knees when we pray. There's just something different when we do pray, bow before the Lord, rather than standing or sitting or whatever else. You know, there are many positions to pray, but there is something really special about bowing before the Lord, getting on our knees, so to speak, for the Lord. It shows that the person is totally dependent upon God. when a person prays on their knees. I'm depending upon the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord for this answer or this request that I'm going to pray for. Totally dependent. Also, it shows that this person is very earnest. He's not just saying words. He's very earnest in what he's saying here. Paul is when he gets on his knees to pray. Also, he's also reverencing God, giving God respect when we get on our knees and pray. God likes that in an individual, to reverence him, to respect him. So Paul is bowing. He's bowing. Also, we see he's humble before God. He's humble before God. He's not boasting. He's not proud. He is simply humble before God when he makes this prayer to God on behalf of the church. So we see here that not only was it a prayerful purpose, but also he bowed. It was a prayer with bowed knees. A prayer with bowed knees. Now notice also, we also see that it was to the Father of Christ. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. That's who he's praying to. We see this here. We see that the prayer is addressed to God as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world to reveal mankind who? God. To reveal mankind, God. And we see here this in this prayer. We also see something else about this prayer. This prayer was for the whole family of God. It wasn't for one particular church or one particular group. Paul is praying for the whole family of God when he prays this prayer here in this passage of Scripture here. The prayer here. We find that God is the Father of all believers. Now, we don't believe in the fatherhood of God. Okay? Get it straight. We do believe that all believers, all born-again believers, God is our Father. Okay? So we see here that God is the Father of all believers who believe and trust the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promises of God. So we see here, this was this prayer. This was this prayer. Four things about it. Again, it was for a cause. It was on bowed knees. He had the knees bowed. It was to the Father of Christ, and it was for the whole family of God when he prayed this prayer. Now, let's go still further. What was this prayer all about? Prayer. Paul was making now some specific requests for the church of the living God. You know, the church needs prayer today, doesn't it? The church needs prayer today. More so than ever, probably. But I wonder how many of us as born-again children of God are really praying for the church today. I mean, sincerely praying for the church. Praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. Praying for other churches today that people have the privilege to go and sit under the sound of the gospel around about this world, about this country. You know, we need to really pray for the church today more than ever before. The church is going through some things now that they have never gone through. And we need to really pray for the church. But I want you to notice the request that Paul was praying. Now notice again, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, look at the request. Look at verse 16. That he, that is God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with what? Might by his who? Spirit in the who? Inner man. Inner man. Now, we see here in this passage of Scripture, Paul is praying. This is his request that the church would get strength. The church needs strength. The church also needs might. Strength and might. We need for his presence in us. That's where our strength and might comes from. It's from the very presence of God in us, the Holy Spirit that's in our lives. Now notice strength. We need strength. Why do we need strength? We need strength to endure. Don't we? We need strength to be made strong in our life as a Christian, you know, that we can stand when we need to stand and we can say what we need to say whenever we're faced with sometimes in our life. But we need strength. Paul says, I want to pray for your strength. I want you to be made strong. I want you to endure. Okay? Endure the hardness. Endure whatever you have to face in life. I want you to endure. You need strength, church. You need strength. I need strength. We all need strength. We need to be made strong. Notice also might. Might has to do with power. Power for force and energy. We need power. The church does today. He says, I'm praying for you to have strength. I'm praying for you to have might. Now, the believer needs to be strengthened with power and might. In who? The inner man. The inner man. The Holy Spirit that indwells us. Now, we need to realize this today. The believer needs this power. The believer needs this strength in the inner person, the Holy Spirit that indwells us today. We see here, why do we need this power? Why do we need this strength in the inner man that lives within us today? We need it, first of all, it's the only way we can overcome the flesh. There's no way that I can overcome this flesh apart from the Spirit of God that indwells me. It's He alone that enables me to do that. This flesh is weak. This flesh desires a lot of things. But it's the Spirit of God that's going to enable me to overcome this flesh that I have. See, the Spirit of God enabled you, motivated you today to get up, get ready, and come to Sunday school and church. If you and I did what the flesh wanted to do, we'd either be sleeping right on or we'd be somewhere else doing something else, wouldn't we? I mean, that's the flesh. But see, we need strength from the inner man, the Holy Spirit of God, to do what God wants us to do. See, I thank God for that. He's the only way we can overcome the flesh. He's the only way we can conquer temptations and tests and trials and sickness, and all the things that we go through in this life. He is the only source of our strength, folks, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, the inner man. I thank God today for the inner man. Not only is He the only one that helps us this way, but also He's the only way the believer can lay claim to the very promises of God. We come, we approach to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's the Spirit of God that directs us in that prayer. Paul tells us in Romans that we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit of God intercedes for us. He prays for us, helps us to pray when we come before the Lord. And I'm grateful for that today. He's the only way the believer can lay claim to the very blessings of God. First of all, to do everything God wants us to do. And then to be everything God wants us to be. Only the Spirit of God can enable us to do that as the inner person, the inner man within us. So Paul is praying. He's praying for strength. He's praying for our might. He's praying that for the inner man that's in, the believer, that they'll be able to do what God wants them to do in their life. We also see, not only that, but we see the source of this strength. The source of this strength, again, is the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. He dwells within the inner man of the believer, the Holy Spirit does. He dwells there that we might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We cannot live the Christian life apart from the Spirit of God in us, folks. It's impossible. There'll be no renewing of us. There'll be no birth with it. We still be the person that we used to be. But because of Him within us, He enables us to live the life. Now, how do we know we hear and God hears and answers our prayer? How do we know that? Look at verse 16 again. Verse 16 says that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, notice the first part of that verse. That He would grant you. Paul says that God would grant you. God's going to do something for you. Okay? He's going to do something for you. He said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Now that's the promise, folks. That's the security. God's going to answer your prayer according to the riches of his glory. Now, if he answers my prayer and your prayer according to the riches of his glory, you can count on the fact that he's going to answer your prayer. He's going to answer your prayer. He is the one that's able to answer your prayer. He's the one that's going to meet your need. See, it is God's glorious grace and salvation revealed in Christ. Excuse me. And he will strengthen you and I with might, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God. So we see here, the first request is from Paul to the Christians, is that they might receive strength, they might receive might for the inner man. For the inner man, that is the Spirit of God that indwells you. And again, I emphasize, we need that strength today more than ever before. We need that might in the inner man. Now, the question is this, how do we feed the inner man? How does the inner man get strong? Well, you know how he does. First of all, we have to read God's word. We have to pray. And we have to witness. If we'll do those three things in our life as a Christian, the inner man will be strengthened. We will have power. And the Spirit of God will direct our lives if we'll do those three things. But we have to feed the inner man. Most of us, when we leave here today, we're going to feed these bodies, aren't we? Some of you already thinking about where you're going to eat at. But you're going to feed these bodies. Why? Because you want strength, right? You want to be able to go and do what you need to do. Well, let's don't starve the inner man, folks. The inner man needs to be fed too. And he's fed through the Word of God as we read the Bible. If I don't read my Bible every day, if I don't pray every day, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do every day spiritually, I am going to dry up. I will not be strong. The inner man is going to literally die. Because I'm not feeding him. I'm not feeding him. I can't emphasize enough the importance of feeding the inner man the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, energizes us and gives us the strength that we need to do what God wants us to do. So it's very, very important. Paul is praying for the Christians, the believers, to get strength, to get might in the inner man. In the inner man. That's his first request. Now, let's move on to the next request. Look at verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Paul is saying here, he's requesting for Christ to rule and reign in us. How? By what? By faith. By faith. Paul says Christ needs to rule and reign in you by faith. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to reign and to rule in your life completely. It's what Paul is saying here. Now, notice the word that Christ may dwell. Dwell. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell means a permanent dwelling, not a temporary dwelling. He's there forever. God wants to reign in your life forever. Not just on Sunday morning, okay? But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He wants to dwell and to reign in your life. He's there. If you're a Christian, the Spirit's there. But are we allowing him to dwell? Or are we allowing him to direct us, to rule us, and to reign us in our lives every day, you see? What does this request mean? When Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, what does this mean? What is he trying to say to us? He's trying to say, first of all, that Christ would be at home in you. He's a welcome guest in you physically. He has dominion over you physically, okay? Therefore, he feels at home. You know, you can go some places and you feel at home, don't you? Some places you go and you don't feel at home. Well, I ask myself today, Jesus, do you feel at home in me? Do you feel at home in me? I want him to. I want him to realize, hey, he's welcome all the time. Not just when I'm here on Sunday morning, but when I'm at home, when I'm at the grocery store, no matter where I am, He's always welcome. He's always welcome in me to strengthen me, to give me the power in the inner man, you see. So we see here that we're talking about dwelling, that Christ would be at home and live in a permanent sense within the believer. That's what he's talking about. Number two, we see also that the believer would be aware and conscious of Christ in you. Be aware and be conscious of Christ in you. Now, I'm afraid sometimes, if we're not careful, we're not conscious that Christ is in us, no matter where we go. No matter what we do, what we say, Christ is in us. He's always in us, folks. Let's don't forget that. Let's don't take Christ where Christ don't want to go. Now, how do you know? The Spirit will guide you. That's how you know. You know, you have to let the Spirit be your guide. You really do. So we need to realize this, that the believer would be aware of the consciousness of Christ within us at all times. At all times. Also, that the believer would let Christ control and to guide his life. Paul says, Christ wants to rule and to reign in your life. Let him do that. Let him do that. Give him permission to do that, you see. Let him have control. Let him guide your life. And every day, every day. Listen, folks, it's a daily walk. It's a daily thing that Christ directs our lives and guides our life. See, it's the presence of Christ within us that motivates us. It's Christ's presence within us that motivates us in our lives to follow Christ. Christ dwells in the believer by what? Faith. Christ dwells in us by faith, folks. Faith is simply trusting God, taking God at His word, and Christ dwells within us by faith. By faith. So see, Paul is praying. His first request is for the church to get strength, to get might in the inner man. His second request for the church is that they might allow Christ to rule and to reign within by faith in their lives. Now notice the next verse, part of verse 17, the last part, he's also making another request. He says, first of all, 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. But notice the last part. That you be rooted and grounded in what? In love. Another request Paul has given for the church as he prays here is a request for love. A request for love. That's agape love there. The same love that God has for us. The same love that God has for us. We see here, a love like God hath for us is a love that is full of a selfless and sacrificial love. Selfless. I'm not going to put myself first. I'm going to put Christ first, okay? I am not first, but Christ is first. Selfless love and a sacrificial love. I'll sacrifice what I have to. I'll sacrifice what I can for the cause of Christ. That's what he's saying. Love, a request for love. The world today needs what? Love. The world today needs love. I'm not talking about worldly love. I'm talking about the love of God. The love of God that only Christians know and Christians can experience in their life. So we see here the request for love. It's a love of the mind, a love of the reason, a love of the will. A love of the mind. A love of the reason, a love of the will in our lives. That's love he's talking about. That's agape love, agape love. We see, it loves a person even though the person does not deserve to be loved. Listen, I do not deserve to be loved by God. But in spite of me, God still loves me. He still loves you. That's agape love. This kind of love also is love, loves a person who is utterly unworthy to be loved. I was unworthy to be loved, but God loves me. God loves you. There's not a person on the face of God's earth today that he doesn't love. There's never been a person on the face of God's earth that he doesn't love. We also see this is a love that it compels to sacrifice itself even for its enemies. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. It's a love that a person is willing to sacrifice itself for his enemies. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 8. A very familiar verse. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, that's an awesome verse. An awesome verse. Look at verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were what? Enemies. We were enemies, folks. For if when we were enemies, the scripture says, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Notice, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we see here it's a love that is compelled to sacrifice itself even for its enemies. Jesus died for people that did not like him. He died. So Paul gives a request for love also. A request for power, for strength, for the inner man. The second request is a request for love. Notice the third request in verse number 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and height. May be able to what? To comprehend. Paul is praying also, giving a request to understand. To understand. There's a lot of things in life we don't understand, right? And we'll never understand. But by God's help, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God that indwells us, he helps us to understand a lot of things. He helps us to understand a lot of things. And we've been talking about a lot of these things. A full understanding of all spiritual things God wants us to know. First of all, we see the great blessings of God in chapter 1. We talked about this weeks ago. The great blessings of God. God wants us to understand his blessings to you as a Christian. What he's done for you. The great knowledge and power of God. We talked about that. The power and the knowledge of God in chapter 1 of Ephesians. God wants us to understand that. He wants you to know, have the knowledge of his power and his love towards you and I. Also, the mercy and grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, God wants us to understand this. He wants us to understand the mercy and the grace of God. Mercy and grace of God. He also wants us to understand how we're reconciled by Christ. Jesus Christ paid the debt that you and I could not pay. He reconciled us to God through his death on the cross. He also wants us to know the church. Who and what is the church? Who and what is the church? He wants us to know all about this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, we talked about that earlier. Paul says, I'm requesting for you to understand, church. I want you to understand some things. I want you to understand some things. The new body of people that God is forming. I want you to understand that. It's a great mystery. See, folks, The more we understand what God has done for us, the more we're going to reach out. The more we're going to reach out and take the love and salvation that God has given to us to the world. The more we understand. See, when I stop and think all that God's done for me, how God has saved me miraculously from a life of sin, and all... I can't help but try to do something for God. I fumble a lot. I stumble a lot of things I don't do right. But I still want to give my best to God because of what he's done for me. For what he's done for me. See? So we see the request for understanding. Understanding who we are. Why we are who we are. It's all because of Christ, folks. It's all because of him. He's enabled us to understand the Word of God by the teaching through the Spirit of God and realizing who we were, who we are as sinners, and giving our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to save us. Folks, listen. The most wonderful thing that could happen to anybody is for them to be saved, to be born again, a child of God. God, you know, God has a plan. God has a plan, folks, for everybody to be saved. For everybody to be saved. I can't understand that, can you? I can't comprehend that. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. The guy in the gutters of sin or the person that's sitting on the pew every Sunday is still lost. God loves them the same. And God will save them. So Paul says, I want you to understand. I want you to understand, church, all these things about what I'm doing. About what I'm doing. And also, church, I want you to realize that you are to be part of this. You are part of this if you're saved today. If you're saved today. Paul also gives another request on how to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, notice which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me go back up to verse number 18, first of all, as we close out. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. You know what? Think of those four words. There's one verse of Scripture that comes to my mind from the Bible. What is that verse?
New Jerusalem.
No, one verse. Talking about the love of God, talking about God Himself. He's talking about here that that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with all the saints now, talking about Christians, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of what God is doing. What God is doing. John 3:16, folks. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God Himself loves mankind. He really does. He loves us. He loves us. It is utterly impossible for us to understand the love of God anywhere close to the full measure of God's love. We can't do it, folks. It's impossible. But God in His Word will help us. We should pray for God to help us to learn more of His love. I love the song, The Love of God. The Love of God. It's a tremendous song. It helps me to see and understand a little bit about God. Folks, I trust somehow, as we look at the request, as we look at this prayer of Paul for the church, I trust that we might get a little glimpse of how God, Paul prayed for us too. He's praying for us too. He's not just praying for one particular church. He's praying for all churches, folks. All churches. We need the power. We need the strength for the inner man. We need to allow God to rule and reign in our life. We need love. We also need understanding from the Word of God that we might know how to better live for Him. A tremendous prayer that Paul prayed for the church. I trust today that we will realize, as Paul prayed there, for them to have strength, might in the inner man. He prayed for Christ to rule and to reign, and for love and all these things he prayed for, that we too need these things as a church today. May the Lord bless us and help us today. Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for this time You've given us and Your Word. And dear God, I pray today as we come to the close of this class, Lord, that someone has learned something today to be helped. Lord, that's my prayer. Lord, we live in a fast world. We live in a world that is so focused upon world and worldly things, materialism and all these other things. Lord, I'm afraid sometimes we just forget God. But Lord, help us to be reminded daily of You, who You are, what You've done for us. God, may You strengthen us. Strengthen our inner man. Lord, that we might walk with You daily. That we might do what You called us to do. Thank You for each one that's here today. Lord, I pray now for our pastor, the next service as he preaches. I pray You would anoint him afresh and anew. Give him power to speak, thus saith the Lord. Bless his singing. May all we do today bring honor to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.